marvelous things inside of us, as you reveal to us all the gifts that are inside of us and that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has given to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. So the name of my message, and actually I did part one last week. This is part two, and it's unwrapping the gifts from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in review from last week, so everybody's on the same page, you can also listen to that message on the website if you like to do that, because there's some interesting things that I said last week. Okay, so I began with reading two significant prophecies that were from around 2019 that were very significant for today. So if you want to go back and listen to those. And I also read the Father's House vision and mission statement and the strategy of the church, and we are to be ready at all times for the Holy Spirit to use us. Wherever we're at, right? Home, school, job, business, marketplace, and out in the streets. We are to demonstrate that Christ lives inside of us, and we have the power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness, to heal the sick, cast out demons, disciple people, raise the dead, be good spouses, parents, and Christians, right? So now about the gifts. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as everyone has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we are to manage our gifts as a good steward. And then I gave you two definitions of the of a word study for gifts and grace. Now, gifts in the Greek is charisma. And that is where we get the word charismatics. And that's what we're called. We're charismatics. And that means that we are the gifted ones. Charisma means spiritual endowment or a miraculous faculty. The root of charisma is charis. And charis? C-H-A-R-I-S. In Greek, it means the word grace. Now, grace in the Greek means graciousness, divine influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life, divine favor. Grace is usually said to be unmerited favor or divine enabling. Grace to me means when I can't do something, God comes and does it through me. That's what grace means. The grace to do something that your flesh can't do. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, the grace gifts are given to profit the church. Profit here means bear to get together, contribute to be better for the grace gifts or for the maturing of the church body. Now, there are three divisions of gifts, and we went through two of them last week. In quick review, in Romans 12:6-8, we found the gifts from the Father. Now, these are the seven gifts that the Father gives besides our natural born gifts and talents. And these are called motivational gifts. These gifts are what drives you. It's how you serve as a goal in life. It's really what makes you tick, okay? And they are prophecy, serving or helping, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving or contributing, leading, mercy or compassion. And I went through each one pretty in detail, so you can listen to that also on the website. And then the next division is found in Ephesians 4:7-16. And they are the gifts from Jesus. And they are the fivefold ministry gifts. And they are the office of apostle, the office of prophet, the office of evangelist, the office of pastor, and the office of a teacher. And we went into depth with both of these divisions last week. Now, the last division of gifts are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are in three categories. Before we get into these categories, I just need to share a few things with you. These nine gifts of the Spirit are grace gifts also given to the body of Christ. Each gift of the Holy Spirit functions by the grace of God working in and through the individual believer's life. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They cannot be earned. Gifts are given as the Spirit wills them to you. He determines what gifts we each receive. Each man or woman is given gifts. Every Spirit-filled believer has been given at least one or more of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says these gifts are to profit the church. They are for the maturing of the church body. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says these gifts are the evidence God is working in his people. A believer is not in control of these gifts, but the Lord directs the believer in use of these gifts. And we should pray that we become more yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit in these gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul tells us and encourages us to desire these gifts and to eagerly want them. Our responsibility is to seek the Lord to know his or her grace gifts. We have to have the faith and the want to step out to use these gifts. It's better to try and not succeed than not try at all. The only way to learn is through trial and error. And this is a safe place to do that, okay? We're all learning and we're all maturing. These gifts need to be developed. The safest place is to be use them is in the local church, as we submit to the pastor and the leadership of that body so we can be corrected and taught in love so we can learn and grow. We all have to start someplace, right? We all have a beginning. The gifts must work along with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, 26. And also 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 3 says the gifts without love will not profit nothing. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit have to do with God imparting part of his divine nature into our personalities to help us to be much better people, more Christ-like. The fruit in us is the evidence that God's nature is in us. It will just flow naturally out of us. The sanctification process in Christ has to do with the Holy Spirit himself transmitting nine specific divine qualities and attributes into our personalities. And that is the transformation process that the Holy Spirit does in us. Now, the nine fruits of the Spirit, which we probably all know, that's found in Galatians 5:22, 26, says is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These nine fruits work together with the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, giving us serious power at our disposal as we walk with God's anointing in our life every day. The Holy Spirit can manifest any one of these nine gifts to a believer at any time and any place, and he does. These gifts are powerful, supernatural, and miraculous manifestations direct from the Holy Spirit himself. These nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for the fivefold ministry, but for every believer to seek and to receive. Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7 that we are to stir up the gift inside of us and not to fear God, because he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He gave us the power through the Holy Spirit. He gave us love. He gave us the Father's heart. He gave us his love. And he gave us a sound mind. He gave us the mind of Christ. We have to ask in prayer for these gifts and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us so they will flow out of us, especially out of these four walls. Holy Spirit needs two things from us. He needs clean vessels and faith or trust that the Holy Spirit will operate the gifts through us. These gifts have to be activated, developed, and workable when faith in our hearts are made active to use them. No fear. right? No fear. We can ask the Holy Spirit to increase the empowerment upon us. It's God's power that performs the miracles. However, it is the Holy Spirit that bestows the gifts on those he chooses to work through to accomplish his will. The scriptures also tell us not to quench the spirit and do not despise prophecies. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Okay, it's ready to go through the 9 gifts of the spirit? All right, they fall into 3 categories. The first is the gift of revelation, and this includes the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Next, the gifts of inspiration or the vocal gifts, and this includes the gift of prophecy, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And then lastly, the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is we'll go through each one, and then I'll give, I have some other examples besides the ones that are written on the paper and some modern day ones, okay? Now, I know we're not going to get through, we're probably just going to do the first category, okay? And then, because the next category is really in depth and the last one. So we'll just go through the first category today, okay? Okay, the 9 manifestation gifts, you could look at your notes now, are gifts that are given in a moment of ministry that manifest in the life of the church, a small group, in a family, or in a community. Now let's go and I'll read 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10. And that's where the list is. So we'll read that first. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. And that says, for example, I'm reading out of the Passion. The Spirit gives to the one the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives the gift of word of revelation knowledge. And to another, the same Spirit gives the gift of faith. And to another, the same Spirit gives gifts of healing. And to another, the power to work miracles. And to another, the gift of prophecy. And to another, the gift to discern what the Spirit is speaking. And to another, the gift of speaking different kinds of tongues. And to another, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. And it says here, concludes, remember, it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as he chooses for each believer. Okay. So the word of wisdom, I'm glad we're holding your prophecy, Kathy, because that'll be, because she's got the gift of prophecy on her. Okay, so the word of wisdom says it is a supernatural revelation or insight into the divine will and purpose, often given by the Spirit to solve perplexing problems. Now, I may have typos in here, so forgive me for that. Problems and situations. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by supernaturally having God's wisdom in a given circumstance. This supernatural God-given wisdom gives clarity in counseling sessions, meetings, families, and anywhere wisdom is needed. A classic example of this gift is in 1 Kings 3, where Solomon, through God's wisdom, was able to discern who the true mother was. Leaders often have this gift. Examples of this gift in Scripture can be found, and then it lists a few to look at. Okay, the people with this gift have a strong reliance on God for direction and wisdom. They often have a strong desire to counsel and give sound advice. They are sought after by others for advice, insight, and wisdom. They are often known for making wise decisions, which cuts through natural decision-making. They often tie their God-given wisdom to scriptures, and they recognize God as the primary source of wisdom and direction. Okay, so let's look up, if you have your Bibles with you, 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28, to see how Solomon used the word of wisdom. So that's found 1 Kings 3, 16, 28. I'll start in 15. It's a little backstory to get right into it. It says, then Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and made peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she laid on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning, the nurse, my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son, whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. But the first woman said, no, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is a dead one. And the other one says, no, for your son is a dead one, and my son is a living one. And the king said, get me a sword. So this is how Solomon used wisdom. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, I'll divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Not that he was going to do it, but then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son and said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child. And by no means kill him. She is his mother. When all of Israel heard of that judgment which the king handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. That took wisdom, amen, to know, because a true mother wouldn't want her son killed. Okay, another example I have is Acts 27, 30, 38. Acts 27, 30, 38. I can't even find it. Okay, where are you? Okay, this is about Paul before he was shipwrecked. Okay, it says, some sailors pretended to go down to drop anchors from the bow, when in fact they wanted to lower the lifeboat into the sea and escape, abandoning the ship. But Paul said to the Roman officer and his soldiers, unless you all stay together on board the ship, you have no chance of surviving. So that was the wisdom that he got. At the moment they heard this, the soldiers cut the ropes of the dinghy and let it all fall away. Just before daybreak, Paul urged everyone to eat. He said, today makes 2 full weeks that you've been in fearful peril and hunger, unable to eat a thing. Now eat and be nourished, for you'll all come through this ordeal without a scratch. So he prophesied there again. Then Paul took bread and gave thanks to God in front of them, broke it, and began to eat. There were 276 people who ate until they were filled and were strengthened and encouraged. And after they were satisfied, they threw the grain into the sea to lighten the ship. When daybreak came, the sailors didn't recognize the land, but they noticed a cove with a sandy beach. So they decided to run the ship ashore. They cut away the anchors, leaving them in the sea, untied the ropes holding the rudders, hoisted the foresail to the breeze to head for the beach. But they drifted into a rocky shoals. Is that right? Between two depths of the sea, causing the ship to flounder, still a distance from the shore. The bow was stuck fast, jammed on the rocks, while the stern was being smashed by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners to prevent them from escaping, but the Roman officer was determined to bring Paul safely through, so he foiled their attempts. He commanded the prisoners and the crew who could swim to jump overboard and swim ashore. The rest all managed to survive by clinging to the planks and broken pieces of the ship, so that everyone scrambled to the shore uninjured. And they landed on Malta, and they were all fine. And then people brought them food and all that good stuff. So there you go. Okay, modern day word of wisdom. Okay. A prophet who was ministering in prophecy over people, when he came to a particular woman, he said to her, don't sell the house. The woman shouted with joy because the word gave her the wisdom she needed for a specific situation. Okay, so we've seen that many times, right, in service. Okay, an example of last week, actually. I'm going ahead of myself. I got wisdom a while ago when the daycare center was here. And it was a time when the supply demand for parts, the chain was broken and you couldn't get parts, and their furnace AC unit broke. And long story short, they couldn't get the parts. So then we tried to get a new unit. And that was a problem. So finally, I got rid of that company, and I went to somebody else. So that somebody else, in the meantime, finally found us an AC unit, a furnace AC unit, but it was had to be ordered and wasn't going to come for another 2 or 3 weeks. Meantime, it's getting hot over there. And the owner of the daycare center was a very hard person to get along with, okay? So I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, please give me wisdom what to do. So I get this idea from the Lord. It was downloaded. Just take RAC, pump it through RHVAC over to their side, and share it until they get their new unit in. So the guys, Eric and Jim, were like, why didn't I think of that? So, well, you have to pray. And you have to get wisdom, amen? So always ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom, and he will give it to you. Okay, let's look at the next one, the word of knowledge. It is a supernatural revelation of divine knowledge or insight in the divine mind, will, or plan to know things that could not be known to oneself. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by the Holy Spirit revealed unlearned knowledge in a given circumstance. The word of knowledge often precedes another gift or manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which prophecy can be described as a pouring in, a flowing out. The word of knowledge is more like someone handing you a glass of water for you to describe. Care should be taken on how the word of knowledge is communicated. An example of this gift is also found in those scriptures. Now, the people with this gift, they may see Holy Spirit prompted pictures in their minds. Now, we heard Jeannie, she saw pictures during worship, so she interpreted what she was seeing, right? So that's an example there. They also can be used to help complicated situations and have knowledge about what decisions should be made. They will also suddenly have unlearned knowledge about the thoughts or needs of others, and they are good listeners to the Holy Spirit. So the word of knowledge works with the word of wisdom. They work together. The word of knowledge will show us certain facts, and the word of wisdom will show us what to do with these facts. Now, let's look up these examples. The first one I have is Matthew 17, 24 to 27. And this is where Jesus tells Peter they had to go pay taxes. So Jesus tells Peter, go fishing. Okay? So let's look at that. Matthew 17, 24, 27. Wouldn't you like that? Somebody's got a word for you. Go fishing. You'll get a gold coin. Okay. 17, 24 to 27. Okay. It says, after they arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and asked, does your teacher pay the tax for the unkeep of the temple like the rest of us? Of course he does, Peter answered. When Peter walked into the house and before he had a chance to speak, Jesus spoke up and said, Peter, I have a question for you. Who pays tolls or taxes to a king? Is tax collected from the king's own children or from his subjects? From his subjects, Peter answered. Jesus replied, that's right. The children get off free without paying taxes, but so that we don't offend them, go to the lake and throw out your hook, and the first fish that rises up will have a coin in its mouth. It will be the exact amount you need to pay the temple tax for both of us. Yeah. All right. We like that, Jesus. You could give us that word anytime you like. Okay, Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11. Now, this is about Ananias and Sapphira. Woohoo. This is also has a spirit of discernment besides the knowledge. Acts 5. Okay, it says, now a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira likewise sold their farm. They conspired to secretly keep back for themselves a portion of the proceeds. So when Ananias brought the money to the apostles, it was only a portion of the entire sale. God revealed their secret to Peter. So there it goes. God tells Peter what they're up to. So he said to them, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your heart and make you think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? You only pretended to give it all, yet you hid back part of the proceeds from the sale of your property to keep for yourselves. Before you sold it, wasn't it yours to sell or to keep? And after you sold it, wasn't the money entirely at your disposal? How could you plot such a thing in your heart? You haven't lied to people, you lied to God. The moment Ananias heard those words, he fell over dead. Everyone was terrified when they heard what had happened. So young men came in, removed the body, and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came into the room with no clue what had happened to her husband. Peter said to her, Were the two of you paid this amount for the sale of your land? Sapphira said, yes, that's how much it was. Peter told her, why have you agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? I heard the footsteps of those who buried your husband at the door. They're coming here to bury you too. At that moment, she dropped dead at Peter's feet. When the young men came in, she was already dead, so they carried her out, buried her next to her husband. The entire church was seized with powerful sense of fear of God, which came over all who heard what had just happened. Wow, that's intense. Okay, now last week, I have an example. I discovered a song, and I thought it was a sermon on my things that I saved, and I thought it was Barry's sermon, but it was a song called For the Cross, and it talked about everything Jesus died on the cross for and talked a lot about healing. Jeannie had a word of knowledge for healing, and people came up last week, and we prayed over everybody that came up for healing, and they got results. So that was a word of knowledge. At that particular time, God wanted to heal people, okay? So we were obedient to, and how many people are still healed from last week? That came up. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Okay. You could turn the page. Is this all making sense? Good. Discerning of spirits. Now, this is a supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect them in their plans. This God-given special anointing to serve and strengthen the body of Christ and others by having the ability to distinguish whether something is of the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, a demon, or an angel. An example of Paul operating in this gift is found in Acts 16:16-18. People with this gift can range from discerning an annoyance, sensing a change in the immediate atmosphere, a check in their spirit, or I call it a red flag. It's a feeling that you get in your gut, and all the way to seeing an open manifestation of a spirit. People with this gift must guard themselves not to become critical and judgmental, but instead to love the church and the desire to build her up. People with this gift are able to sense, hear, and or see the spirit into the spiritual world or realm. They can hear other people's thoughts as the Holy Spirit reveals them, will suddenly sense a need to leave a situation or a place, can identify the source of a sickness, need, or trial, can discern the spirit behind a message or the speaker, that's a typo, may see spirits, whether angelic or demonic. Okay, let's look at some of those examples. Okay, let's look at Luke 13:16. And the gift of discernment was on Jesus. Well, he flowed in all the gifts anyway, so he's a perfect example to use. Luke 13:16. Okay. It says, if you do this for your own, that don't make sense. 13:16. Really? That doesn't make sense. Oh, you 13. Okay, wait a minute. I probably typoed it, what I was looking for. All right, let's look at, what did you say? Acts 16:16-18. Sorry about that. It's probably the wrong chapter. Yeah, was there? It didn't make sense to me, though. Okay, well, let's look at this one while we're there. Acts 16:16-18. It says, one day as we were going to the house of prayer, we encountered a young slave girl who had an evil spirit of divination, the spirit of Python. She had earned great profits for her owners by being a fortune teller. She kept following us, shouting, these men are servants of the great high God, and they're telling us how to be saved. Even though it was right, what she was saying. Then it says, day after day, she continued to do this until Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit indwelling her, I command you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to come out of her now. At that very moment, the spirit came out of her. When her owners realized that her potential of making profit had vanished, they forcefully seized. Okay, that goes on to another subject. So you see that what she was saying is right, but she had a bad spirit, and they discern that. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 9:33. Okay, let's look at 32. It says, while they were leaving, some people brought before Jesus a man with a demon spirit who couldn't speak. Jesus cast the demon out of him, and immediately the man began to speak plainly. The crowds marveled in astonishment, saying, we've never seen miracles like this in Israel. But the Pharisees kept saying, the chief of demons is helping him drive out demons. Jesus walked throughout the region with joyful message of God's kingdom realm. He taught in their meetings, houses, and wherever he went, he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease and illness. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thought it was going to go into when Jesus said you can't cast a devil out of a... Yeah, you can't cast out Satan by Satan. Amen. Thank you. That's what I thought it was going to say, but it didn't. Okay. All right, so we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus dealt with spirits, and sometimes those spirits, of course, get a hold of a person, and they put sickness, disease, blindness, deafness, you know, things like that. Now, an example of our prayer team, a few months ago, we discerned an old spirit that would hang around this building. But it would only be right by that door by the foyer. It would not come in the sanctuary. And sometimes it would hang out in that hallway. So we had enough. So we went and we really took care of it. Okay? And it's not here anymore. So we had a discernment that, and some of us even saw it, you know, it manifested, and we got rid of that thing. Okay, and I'm going to stop right there, because the next segment is very involved, and look, it's 12:25, I can't do it today. So hold on to the notes, please. And just remember to bring them. You don't have to bring them next week, so I know you guys are going to forget. But I'll remind you. And where's Kathy? Oh, because she had a word. And I told her we're going to hear that word, right? So she's probably going to be embarrassed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does anybody have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or anything particular towards anyone this morning? You have a testimony. Okay.
Last week when people were going up front for prayer, for healings, I wanted to go up front because I had stiffness in both hands, but... that guy called Rheumatoid, you know, with the last name. Well, anyway, I didn't go up front. The Lord said, enjoy the overflow. So I sat in my seat, and my hands are not stiff. My hands are not stiff at all. I'm completely healed. So the overflow is great, too. But only do it if the Lord tells you.
Okay. That's awesome. That's a good testimony. Amen. Yes, Kathy. You got your prophecy? We're ready for it. Okay, I just ended, so I don't want to go into any more today.
It's not really related to your...
That doesn't matter. This is this.
All right, anyway. Okay, you know me, I get shy up here. Okay. Okay. All right, so anyway. I had a dream the other night, and I heard the Lord say, it's time to wake up. And in the dream, Jesus was with me, so I was up here looking down at myself, and I was at this big, it was kind of like a party. There was just not a specific party, but all kinds of people there and everything, and it was real loud, and everybody was talking. And I saw myself sleeping on the couch, but I was kind of like a baby. I was all bundled up, and I had this snuggly little cozy blanket, so I could see myself in the dream up here, but I could also see and hear myself on the couch sleeping. And I was looking down at myself. Let me see, sorry. So I heard people talking, and they were saying, she doesn't want to wake up, talking about me. She doesn't want to wake up, saying she can hear us, but she doesn't want to wake up. She wants to sleep. And I heard them say, let's just move her to another location, but she doesn't want to wake up. So in the dream, I could see myself sleeping as on the couch, and I could hear what was going on, everything. I was all aware of my surroundings and everything, but I didn't want to wake up. And so anyway, I heard the Lord say after that the enemy is trying to sedate us. So I saw in my spirit a bottle of NyQuil or something, and I heard the nighttime sleeping medicine. And the Lord said, be vigilant and aware of what is going on. We are going into the darkest days ahead. We need prayer. We need action more than ever. And he said, don't be complacent. We need to keep pushing through against the spirit of slumber. Be vigilant in prayer. Be aware of the enemy's attempt to distract us. Oh, I'm getting Holy Spirit on me now. And to be aware of the enemy's attempt to distract us and to lull us into complacency and being lax in prayer and intercession. It's time to wake up and be watchful. Be aware of the time wasters. I saw that real random spirit, the time wasters. Said there's a lot of people that'll sap your time and energy, just waste your time. you're enjoying the time with them, but it's the enemy's attempt to take that time away from being, you know, in the holy place, in the secret place, praying and interceding. They'll sap your time and energy so that you'll be weak and ineffective for the kingdom of God. And I heard this, and it doesn't really sound like I'm not always great at remembering scriptures, but I heard like Proverbs 6:10, it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty shall come upon you. And I always thought, well, that had to do with not having food and things, but I look at that as poverty of being weak and ineffective. You're not strong in the Lord, you're weak, you're being weak in prayer, so you don't have the weapons, you're not carrying the armor of God, you're not girded with everything that you need to be girded with to be a warrior for God. So that's what I heard. So anyway, so Lord, we just break off the spirit of slumber that anyone is facing right now, including myself. We just declare there are more than conquerors than those that are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you that you just supernaturally just strengthen us and given us that resolve even to just come against any distraction. I know myself that I have repented of it, but I struggle with like the phone and Facebook because there's so many interesting things on there and I get people wanting prayer. So I'm just asking the Lord to just give me the strength and the willpower to turn the phone off, even if I have to hide the phone or put it where I can't reach it. I have to make myself go outside and sit far away from the house so I'm not distracted by anything. And we just ask that you just, and give us that deep hunger to seek you and pray and that desire. So it doesn't seem like work, but it's a joy and a willingness to do that work.
That was awesome. How many believe that's a God word? It's talking about the church. The condition of the church today is very bad. And we lost our first love. We've grown cold, the church in itself. And people do not put God first. They don't put God before anything. I mean, years ago, I mean, we would go to church whether we were sick. Nothing else was going on. We postponed everything till after we got home. I mean, God was always first. And it's not like that anymore. People just don't have that sense. And we're entering in some pretty dark times, and we got to be strong, and we need each other, and we, the church needs to be strong, okay, to get through and to pull others in, right? We got to pull them into the kingdom. So that was a now word. Anybody else have a word? This is practice. This is what we're doing here. This is practice. Okay, come on up, Elena. Everybody hear her? Oh, we need to hear it on the mic because we record these things. This is all exercise.
I do not think this is for now. Somehow I think this was those left behind, but I didn't get clarity on this. Everybody knows Pirates of the Caribbean? Nobody saw this movie. Oh, okay. You did. Okay. World's End. They sing I heard this song on this movie. I heard this song when I was a little girl. This song was not created until 2007. I'm not going to sing it. You guys are going to have to look it up. I really can't remember it, but just Pirates of the Caribbean, World's End. Pull up the song. It's dark, and it just came over me as I was doing laundry. There's something up in that area about doing the laundry. I'm always getting words, but this song is dark, and these next coming days, like she said, are going to be dark, and we're in a season of what they call Tish B'Av in Israel, when she was destroyed, and things were happening, and they're saying they're going to do it again, only worse. The Bible says it's going to happen. So take this however you feel it, but I just felt I should say this.
All right, we got to stay strong, people. That was a warning. Okay. You got one too? Okay.
Well, that was a few months ago. Some heard it. It actually comes from that painting that Carla did of the lion. But a few months ago, it's not a dream, but it sounds weird, but I'll just call it like it is. I felt like I was in outer space. And in front of me was a huge legion of golden angels. And I heard the Lord say, now's the time. And they didn't want to come. But they said they will, because they know what they have to do when they come. They have to judge the world. And then all of a sudden, the hugest lion appeared in front of me, and it was like made out of energy, and it just kind of went in and out of like looking at it because it was energy. And there was such love in it, but there was such judgment in it too. And again, I heard, now is the time. So it was, I believe it's Christ, the Lion of Judah is coming, but it's not a good time for the earth. So we need to be ready.
Amen. It reminds me of the 10 virgins, keep our oil lit, filled up. Okay. Anyone else before I close? Okay. This is all practice, and, you know, it's a safe place. So if you have something, don't hold it back, because it might be something we need to hear. Okay. Does someone have something, but they don't know what it means? We can help you discern that. Okay. All right. Well, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that are inside of us. Lord, we thank you that those gifts are coming out. We're not going to hold back. Lord, the Holy Spirit is big inside of us and very powerful. So, Lord, we thank you that we're going to be used. And, Lord, you just open up the doors every single day for opportunities so we could speak to people. Lord, so they can come into your kingdom or encourage them or bring hope to them. There's so many people that have no hope today. So, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening us, maturing us, and, Lord, that we will not fall under any kind of evil in the name of Jesus, because Psalm 91 protects us, and we believe it, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.